study some of these things. And we're going to see how they were faithful. And you know, when someone follows God, we can follow that example. Did you hear how I said that? You don't just follow someone because they're good. You follow them as they follow God. All right? So this is what we're going to get into this morning. And we read there in Hebrews 3 that God called Moses a faithful servant in all his house. In other words, God found Moses dependable, reliable, trustworthy, able to complete an assignment. Who was he faithful to? He was faithful to whom he appointed him. Amen? Because we're going to see in the life of Moses how even when opposition, see, the true test of faithfulness is opposition. When opposition comes in, are you still going to stick with it? Are you going to hold firm till the end? Are you going to endure? Are you going to persevere? See, when opposition is an opportunity to really show whether or not you're faithful. And we know from the Bible that if we're faithful in the little, what's going to happen? We're going to get more, right? We're going to be promoted. And if you're faithful in the little, you'll be made ruler over much. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 6. We're going to look at the faithfulness of Jesus first, because after all, that's really the ultimate example, right? He is faithful. And in John chapter 6, oh, if I had a Bible, that pages wouldn't stick together. John chapter 6, and we'll begin with verse 37. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you glad that if you come to the Lord, he's not going to cast you out? Amen? He's not going to criticize you. He's not going to condemn you. He's going to accept you. He's going to welcome you, but you've got to come to him. In other words, you've got to come on his terms. All right, let's read on. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Very interesting point of faithfulness. Jesus did not have his own agenda when he came to this earth. Can you say amen? He came with an agenda to do the will of him who sent him. He came to represent the Father. He came to do what the Father told him to do, to say what the Father told him to say, to go where the Father told him to go. Now I'm going to ask you a question. If Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, did not come to do his own will, then do you think that we should have our own will as the forefront of our life? Absolutely not. See, Jesus set an example. Jesus was involved in creation. He is part of the Godhead. He was in eternity. He knew no pain or suffering or limitation. He is God. But yet, he came. And the reason he came was to do the will of him who sent me. That's faithfulness. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which he has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me. Pay attention to how many times he says the will of him who sent me. What are you here for? You have a divine assignment. You have a divine destiny. You are here to do the Father's will, whether you realize it or not. And if you've been doing your own will up until this point, it's a wake-up call. Wake up! It's time to shift gears, and it's time to lay your agenda and your will on the altar, and it's time to find out what God has for you, and to do that. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Did Jesus accomplish that purpose? Absolutely, because everybody that believes in him is born again. Everyone that believes in him has eternal life. Everyone that believes in him and calls him Lord, confesses him as Lord, that comes to pass, doesn't it? So he did the Father's will. Go to chapter 7. And verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine or my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me." Preachers, don't lay claim to this as your teaching. Man, that was a great teaching. Oh yes, I just put forth that great teaching. Really? You better think again. Listen, I labor every time I have the opportunity to preach. My heart is always, God, what do you want to say to the people? And in preparation, you know, if we did a pastor reality show, and if you could just track a day in the life of a pastor, you know, we're bogged down with all these reality shows. And there's a lot of work that you don't see that goes into this. There's a lot of prayer. There's a lot of listening to God. I don't come up with my own stuff. I listen, and I let the Father give it to me so that I can give it to you. And I will never take the glory. When someone says, you did a great job, I just simply say, thank you. And I point to him. Amen? He said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine or the teaching, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. How do you know whether or not what you're doing is of God? Is if you're doing his will, you will know whether or not it's of God or it's not. Amen? And you know what? Sometimes God's will has nothing to do with popularity. There were a lot of people that weren't popular, but they were doing God's will. God told a prophet one time, I'm going to send you to a people and they're not even going to listen to you, but I still want you to say what I have for you to say. How'd you like to be sent to an audience that doesn't want to hear? What about Noah? Noah, I want you to build a boat. And we know that he was about 500 years old when the Lord spoke to him, and he was about 600 years old when the boat was finished. So figure about 100 years, all right? And while he was building, he was preaching, because the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. How would you like to preach for 100 years and have only 7 converts, 8 including yourself? How many of us would have quit halfway through? You wouldn't have been faithful. See, because a faithful person will take on the task, no matter what the task is, and they will stick with it until it's done, until it's complete, until it's finished. You know, the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, he boldly said, I have finished my course. I have run my race. I have fought the fight. How did he know that he completed his course? Because he was faithful. He received the call to preach the word to Gentiles, to kings, and to the Jews. And he was faithful to that call. And at the end of the life, he boldly said, I have finished my race. I have ran the race. I finished my course with joy. Say, with joy. Hallelujah. See, when you're working for, you're being faithful to God, therefore he gives you the joy. He gives you the strength. He gives you the ability. He gives you the wisdom. He instructs you in everything. He equips you. Therefore, you can finish the course with joy. Faithfulness will produce joy in your life. Oh, but it's so hard. Oh, it's so hard. I don't know if I can carry on. Shut up. You can carry on. Want to smack them. What do you mean you can't carry on? Then you're relying on yourself. You're to be faithful to God. Faithful to his word. Go to John chapter 8. Look at verse 29. He that sent me is with me. Woo! Did you know that wherever God sends you, He's going to be with you? He said, I will be with you forever. I will not forsake you. Hallelujah. And then notice, for I always do those things that please Him. Say, I always do those things that please Him. Who did Jesus live to please? His Father. Now, He probably sought to please His mother, but pleasing His mother wasn't His primary purpose in life. He had disciples. He had followers. He probably did some things to please them, but He did not let, if they were with Him or if they were not, He kept on doing what He was doing. There was no opposition that could come to Jesus that could take Him off of His focus, because He was faithful. He was faithful. He did always those things that please the Father. When we wake up in the morning, we ought to say, Father, how can I please You today? When we're sitting at lunch, we ought to say, Father, how can I please You today? When we're getting ready for dinner and we're making dinner, we ought to say, Father, how can I please You today? And before you go to bed, you ought to say, Father, have I pleased You today? Pleasing God ought to be our main gig in life. That's what it means to be faithful. You've been assigned by God to be here, to live on this earth at this time. You have been equipped with talents, abilities, and gifts. And you have a divine assignment. And it is up to you to be faithful to God to carry out that assignment. He doesn't expect you to do it alone, thank God. He'll help you along the way. So Jesus said, I always do those things that please Him. As He spoke these words, many believed on Him. See, when you talk about pleasing the Father, it produces faith. That's what it means to be faithful, really, to have a lot, to be full of faith. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word. See, he's telling them you've got to be faithful to the word. But so many people are faithful to their feelings, to their emotions. When they get hurt, they say, He hurt me. I'm never going to speak to Him again. You've just put, you are faithful to your feelings and your emotions. I'm not denying the pain that you feel. Our emotions and our feelings are there to let us know when something is good or when something is bad, but they're not reliable. They're not trustworthy. They're not dependable. How do I know? Because feelings change. You can love a dog and you can love a hot dog. You can love a person. People are kind of fickle. Your feelings change. You can't put your faith in your feelings. You can't let your feelings dictate how you're going to live the life. You got to be faithful to the word. He said, if you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, part of being free is to being faithful to the word. If you continue. Say if. To me, whenever the Bible uses if, that means it's not automatic. You've got to make a decision to be faithful. You've got to make a decision to stick with what the Lord has for you. And then go with me to John 17. John 17. Because I want to get into Moses a little bit. Look at what Jesus said in John 17, verse 4. He said, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Did you know that the Bible says whether we eat or drink, we're to give glory to who? To the Lord. Think about that. When you're eating, every little thing in life we're to give glory and honor to Him for. Amen? That's being faithful. Jesus lived His life to honor His Father, to preserve His reputation. Because Jesus said a strong statement. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was so faithful to the Father that looking at the way Jesus lived, you could see the Father. You talk about faithful. When people start looking at you and seeing God, you're being faithful. When they start looking at you and just the way you live has an effect, causes them to want to improve their life, you're being faithful. Amen? Now back in Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible also says that Moses was a faithful servant in all his house. Jesus is over the house, but Moses was in the house. See, there's different level. And go with me to Exodus chapter 15. And the only way, let me put it this way. What do you have to do to tell if someone is faithful? There's one thing that you can do, there's one thing that reveals faithfulness, and that is T-I-M-E, time. You can only see if someone is faithful over a period of time. That's talking about relationship. If you just came here today, and you say, well, I'm called of God, I want to preach. I would say, well, that's great. I'm glad that you're called, but you're not going to preach today. Why? Because I don't know you. The Bible tells us to know them that labor among you. The only way that you can tell if someone is faithful is to observe them, to watch them over a period of time, to see how. It's almost like a spiritual credit check. See, I used to work in a bank. I had to review people's credit. I would see their credit history. I would see how they made payments here or how they didn't make payments. And then I would have to make a decision based on the information. Well, the only way that you can tell someone is faithful is over a period of time. Relationship. That's what the Bible is all about. It's about relationship. Amen? God will give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be faithful. And He will reward you based on how you handle each assignment. If you're not faithful, you will go back to the beginning and start over. Just listen to the Israelites who spent 40 years in the wilderness. It was not God's plan for them to be 40 years, but because they denied every opportunity to be faithful, they had to keep doing it over and over until they got it right. See, His mercies is new every morning. If you feel like you've been wandering around in the wilderness, today is the day that you pass the test. And you purpose in your heart to be faithful, no matter what. Faithfulness will help you pass the test. Whoo! I'm feeling mighty good. Exodus chapter 15. This is the key for faithfulness. Look at verse 26. And we're going to see this evidenced in the life of Moses. There are some keys here. He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. We don't use that word hearken much, but how about listen? And who are you supposed to listen to? The voice of the Lord, your God. So listening is involved in being faithful. Then he said, and will do that which is right in whose sight? His sight. That means someone who lives their life to please people is not being faithful. Because at the end, you're not going to answer to people. Now, how you treat people is a sign of how you treat God. If you're not faithful in your daily life assignments, you're probably not faithful in the bigger things either. Because if you're faithful in little, then you're faithful in big. If you're unfaithful in little, you're unfaithful in big. Because being unfaithful in little things will never get you promoted. So you've got to listen, and you've got to do that which is right in his sight. And then he says, and will give ear to his commandments. That's his word. His commandments are his word. And keep all his statutes. Another element of faithfulness is keeping. If someone gives you something to care for that's valuable to them, how do you keep it? God gave us his son. How do we keep him? Do we just throw him on the shelf? Oh, he's just another God. I'm just going to add him to my collection. No. You know what I believe the Father's going to ask us at the end? He's going to ask people, what did you do with my son? What did you do? Did you believe him? Did you follow him? Did you try to be like him? Because that's faithfulness. Are you hearing me? So hearing, doing, and keeping are elements, are key elements of faithfulness. Who are you listening to? What are you doing? And how are you keeping it? See, because to keep something means you have it over a period of time. Because that time tells you whether or not you're faithful with it. What about the guy who received the talents? Three guys, one received five, one received two, one received one. Why? Right? If I can speak this morning. What happened? The owner who gave them the talents went away for a period of time because he wanted to give them time to see whether or not they would be faithful with what they were given, whether or not they would keep it, whether or not they would be trustworthy, whether or not they would be dependable and reliable. And so he went away. They didn't know when he was going to come back. He didn't give them a set time, but he said, I will come back. And he was away for a period of time. And over that time, two of those people used what they had been given. They kept it. They were trustworthy because they multiplied it. The one with five multiplied it. The one with two multiplied it. But there was one who was given something just like the other two. And over that period of time, nothing was done with what he had been given. He called him a wicked, slothful, and unfaithful servant. And what he had was taken away and given to the one that had ten. They all had the owner's instruction. They all had an opportunity to do something with what they had. And they all had an opportunity to have some time to see how they would keep it. And that proved whether or not they were faithful. Whew, it's quiet in here. All right, let's see how this operated in the life of Moses. All right, let's see how Moses was faithful. Okay, if you go to Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, and let's look at verse 4. Moses was a faithful listener. Say, listener. What does that mean? He heard God's voice. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see God, or to see, God called him unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. How do we know that he was listening? Because God gave him a message and Moses gave him a response. God called out to him, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. He was listening. You know, I discovered that as a husband, there are times when my wife needs verbal reiteration that I have heard what she said. Can you say amen, wives? Husbands, acknowledge when your wife speaks. Make a sound. Make a comment. Acknowledge their voice. Let them know that they heard, that you heard them. It will go well with you. They need that anyway. So Moses, he heard God's voice. He was a faithful listener. And it, you can look at Exodus all throughout God. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. Well, verse 1. We know that Moses heard because Moses answered. He talked, he was communicating back with God. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, say he said. All throughout Moses' beginning, he heard the voice of God. When he was in a place that he could hear, he couldn't hear him in Egypt. Although his parents heard, they heard the voice of God. They knew that abortion was wrong. And even though there was a law to abort babies, the king of Egypt said every male baby that's born has to be thrown into the river. They refused because they heard a voice. They heard that life is more important. And they spared Moses. He was born in an atmosphere of faithfulness. His parents did what pleased God. In spite, they didn't care what the law said. Come on, can you say amen? They cared what the law said. This is the law right here. I'm not negating our laws in our country, but I'm just saying this is the supreme law. This is above any other law. So Moses was a faithful listener. If you study throughout these chapters in Exodus, God said to him, God said to him, God said to him. All right? And so Moses was a faithful listener. Go with me to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. I want to show you something. And look, let's start with verse 3. Now, Moses' brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, had spoken against him because of the woman that he married. And verse 3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the other men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and said unto Aaron, come, and to Miriam, come out, you three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. Say, not so. Who is faithful in all my house? That's what Hebrews was quoting. God is calling him faithful in all his house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently or openly, and not in dark speeches or in riddles. And the similitude or the form of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? See, the more faithful you are, the clearer God's voice will be to you. You will know when God is speaking, when he's talking, when he's leading. It will not be unclear. See, sometimes the voice of God is unclear because we're not as faithful as we should be. You know what happens when we're not faithful? When we're faithful, we have a close, tight-knit relationship with God. But the more unfaithful we are, the further we get away. And you know, the further you are apart, the louder someone has to speak. The further we are away from God, the louder he has to speak to us. Sometimes he just has to drop a, you know, one time Brother Hagin said, this minister came to him and talked about how he believes that the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. And Brother Hagin says, oh, is that really? He said, so when the Holy Spirit came out of heaven and fell on the day of Pentecost, if it was the Word of God, it would have hit him in the head and knocked him out. But do you see how close of a relationship Moses had with God? And the closer you get to God, the different your communication is. Do you realize I've been married to this lovely woman for 12 years? She could answer my thoughts. She could finish my sentences. She could know. It's scary sometimes. Let me tell you, between her and the Holy Ghost and the Word, I'm in good shape. I'm going to walk that straight path, I'm telling you. But see, we have built a relationship for 12 years. Does that mean that we've always agreed? No. But we have worked out those things that we didn't agree on or didn't see eye to eye. We've worked them out. Because you know why? Because I am committed to be faithful to this woman. I am committed. When I said I do, I entered into a vow with God. And we entered into marriage and we share on the most intimate level between individuals. This is how Moses and God were sharing. And God said, I will speak to him mouth to mouth, not in riddles. So Moses was a faithful listener. Okay? And in Exodus 33:11, God says, I speak to him as a friend. You don't have to turn there, but okay? Go to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Moses was faithful to do, say do, what God had said in spite of his insecurity and inadequacy. Let me share with you some of the doubts that Moses had. When God spoke to him in Exodus 3:11, he said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? He had doubts about his ability. He said, who am I? How can I do this? And God said, tell them that God sent. God basically said, I'm sending you. He reaffirmed his call. And then Moses, another doubt that he had is when I get there, when I tell the elders, who should I tell them is sending me? What is your name? And God said, I am that I am. I am what you need. I am what you desire. I am ever presently with you. I am that I am. Hallelujah. See, he reassured Moses that Moses was not acting alone. And then in Exodus 4:1, Moses said, the people will not believe me or listen to me. So he had doubts whether or not his message would be heard. But you know what God said? What's in your hand? What do you have? What do you have? And Moses said, well, I got a stick or a rod. He said, okay, I'll use that. Throw it on the ground. It became a serpent. And then Moses jumped away from him. He said, pick it up by the tail, and it became back a snake. Then he said, put your hand in your whatever. And it became leprous. In your cloak, I guess. But you see, God reassured Moses by asking him what was in his hand. Think about it for a minute. What's in your hand? Well, I don't have anything to offer. No, you have something to offer. Everybody has something. Can I see how many hands? If you have hands in here, lift your hands. If you have a voice, say amen. Amen. You've got hands. You've got a voice. You've got something for God to use. Amen. Aren't you glad that we have a God who will deal with our doubts? And then in 4:10, Moses said, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I can't talk. I can't speak. And God said, well, I made your mouth. So he doubted whether or not he could do what God called him to do. And then chapter 4, verse 13, Moses said, send another person. This is when God got ticked off. Listen, if there's ever anything that will tick God off more, it's telling God that he made the wrong choice. Send another person. Let someone else do it. No, I've called you to do it. God got ticked off. And he said, I'll give you Aaron. He'll be your spokesman. In other words, God said, you're not getting out of this, buddy. You're going to be faithful. Sometimes, as a dad, you got to sit your child down and you say, you're going to do this, whether you like it or not. Come on now. There are things that we may not like to do, but being faithful supersedes our feelings. Now, you thought I forgot where I was. Let's go to verse 29. Moses was faithful to do. Look at verse 29. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Aaron spoke the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. Come on, when you do what God says do, you will be amazed at this success. Do you realize God was asking Moses to go back to the place that he fled from for murder? In Egypt, he was a wanted man, but all the people who had wanted Moses dead were dead. So God said, it's okay to go back. Hallelujah. Don't you know that faithfulness to God, he'll cause your enemies to be a footstool to you? He'll wipe out your enemies. There's no enemy that God can't handle. There's no bully big enough that he can't deal with. But you got to be faithful. You got to step out and do what the Lord has told you to do. Irregardless of what you feel like or what you think. Come on now. Let me tell you something. Is this God's house? You and I are God's house, right? But God's house meets in this house, okay? And this house thrives with opportunity to serve. Now, let me ask you this. When you get to the end of your life, are you going to say to the Lord, are you going to hear the Lord say, he or she was faithful in all my house? There are many people that come to church and go, they don't get involved on any level. Guess what? You better take a look back. They're not going to be considered faithful. Anyway, we're moving right along. And you know what? God just asks you to do what's in your heart to do. You know, we have a person in this church that does the smallest things, but they have such a great impact. And they take their gift and their talent of doing this particular thing, and they do it as unto the Lord, and it is a blessing. It's rich. I can't go into detail about that but I'm telling you, it may not seem like a big thing, but it is a big thing. But that's their thing. And you know what? They do their thing faithfully. They do their thing whenever an opportunity arises. They do their thing. Say this. Say, I am going to do my thing. And you, if you don't know what your thing is, ask the Lord. He'll tell you. Moses' thing was to deliver. When he was in Egypt, he broke up a fight between a Hebrew and an Egyptian by killing the Egyptian. It was in him to deliver. When he was at the well with Jethro's daughters and the shepherds came and were giving him a hard time, he rose up and he delivered his daughters out of the shepherd's hand. He was a deliverer. He just didn't know how to go about doing it. And the Lord had to send him to sheep school on the backside of the desert. He attended that university for 40 years. And then the time came when the Lord would reveal his plan that he was to go back into Egypt and to deliver. He had been preparing him to deliver all along, but now he was being sent by God, and now he had to be faithful to the one who sent him. He had to do it now differently than how he did it before. This time, God didn't want them to go kill people. He wanted them to perform signs, wonders, and miracles and speak the word of the Lord. So Moses did what he was called to do. Say, he did it. Even though he had doubts, even though he was insecure, even though he had an inferiority complex, he did it. Who's blessed more, the listener or the doer? The doer. Listening is good, but that's only half right. Moses heard the voice of God. He did. He was faithful to do. Go with me to 15:25. 15:25. Moses was a faithful intercessor. Say intercessor. Look at verse 24. It says, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" What did Moses do? Did Moses call up his pastor friends and say, "Boy, my people are really giving me a hard time. I can't take it." Did he go to this to get a counseling session saying, "Help me deal with these difficult people"? I remember I went to a seminar, how to handle difficult people. What did Moses do in response to the criticism he was receiving? He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. Therefore he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. In other words, when Moses encountered a problem, his response was to pray. Are you faithful to pray? Well, the only way that I can tell you're faithful to pray is what you do when opposition knocks. What is your response to the opposition that you face in life? Do you complain? Do you murmur? Do you grumble? Do you criticize? Or do you pray? Well, if faithful to the Lord, you're going to pray, because he has enabled us to pray. He's given us the power to pray. He told us how to pray. He told us what to pray. He even gave us prayers in the Bible. So we ought to be faithful to intercede as Moses interceded. He was a faithful intercessor. Go to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Moses faithfully worshiped the Lord. Moses was a churchgoer. Say amen. As a pastor, I say amen. Look at Exodus 33, verse 7. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. That word tabernacle means to dwell with you, or a dwelling place. He pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp, or outside the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Every day he decided to dwell with God. He dwelt in his presence. He experienced his power, and he saw his glory. This tabernacle was called the tent of meeting. It was where he went to meet with God. You're here today because we're here together to meet with God. We're not here to hear an eloquent sermon from Pastor Doug. We're here to experience God. I'm just here because this is where God put me. I'm being faithful to do what he called me to do. Moses was a faithful worshiper. Didn't sound like he had anybody to join with them. They all watched him go as, "Woo, there goes Moses to worship the Lord. Let's stand up. Woo, yeah, okay." But I want to show you something. Look at verse 11. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man," say a young man, "departed not out of the tabernacle, Woo, I'll tell you what, Joshua, who was the servant of Moses, he was a faithful servant. He had Moses' back. He took care of Moses. He fought battles for Moses. He did whatever Moses assigned him to do, and he saw the importance of worship and regular time with the Lord. And Joshua said, I'm not leaving this place. This is good here. Woo. Who ended up becoming the leader in place of Moses? The one who took time out at the tabernacle. You think that's coincidence? He was faithful to go and worship in a tent. How about if we didn't have these comfortable chairs and all we had was a tent on hardwood benches with flies and all the other things that go with it, would you still be faithful to come and to worship as you do with these nice things that we have the benefit of? Amen? So he faithfully worshiped God. He faithfully went to church. He faithfully sought the presence of the Lord. And Moses was a faithful leader. How do we know? He brought him out of Egypt. He brought him through the Red Sea. He was a faithful leader. He was the first one at the Red Sea. And he didn't know what he was going to do. He was between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to call upon God. He established a habit of listening to what God said. And God said, raise your rod. And he raised his rod. And what happened? God used what was in his hand to perform miracles. God will use what's in your hand to perform miracles if you're faithful. Faithfulness is the key here. At first, when Moses got the news about going to Egypt, that wasn't too good a news. You want me to go where? You want me to see who? To Pharaoh? I don't think so. But you know what? A faithful person will work through their doubts. Because, okay, Lord, I don't really want to do it, but if you want me to do it, I'm doing it because of you. Moses did. He faced Pharaoh. He went back into Egypt because he was faithful. Oh, church, we need to get a hold of this faithfulness. It'll transform our life. Moses was a faithful leader. Go with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. And look at verse 26. Look at what the Holy Ghost inspired this writer to write. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. He's calling Moses a servant, a faithful servant. How do we know he was a faithful servant? Because he did what God said do. He went where God said go. He did, in every situation, Moses did what the Lord instructed him to do. When they needed quail, the Lord got a plan, Moses got a plan from the Lord. When they needed water, God gave him a plan on how to get water, and he executed the plan. Does that mean Moses was faithful in everything? No. See, faithfulness is not something, you cannot take a day off from faithfulness. Can you say amen? You got a purpose in your heart that you're going to be faithful every day. Why? Because that's that time period that the Lord needs to prove whether or not you're faithful, whether or not he can trust you. He needs that time period. You need opportunities to do things that the Lord says, and then you need to do them to see whether or not you're faithful. And go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm about getting ready to close. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Hallelujah. Kudos to Moses' parents. By faith, verse 24, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, I thought living in a palace, living in nice clothes, driving a nice chariot, having servants wait on you, I thought that would be the life. No, sometimes there's a greater life. It's called the life, the godly life. The life dedicated, consecrated, and committed to serve God, no matter what. Say, no matter what. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How did he do that? By faith, because he was faithful. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Now, how many of you, if you were given a choice, you have a palace or affliction, which one would you take? Oh, I'm taking the palace. Well, that you better pray about it first. You better find out what God wants you to have. Because I guarantee you, if you take the affliction, God will give you a palace. But if you take the palace, you're going to have affliction at the end. He chose affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Oh, you know what the Lord says? Your treasure is where your heart is. Moses put his treasure in God, in the will of God, in the will of God for his life. He put his treasure in the will of God, where moth and rust can't get to. Oh, hallelujah. Do you realize that the blessing on Moses was so great that for 40 years in the wilderness, his clothes didn't wear out? For 40 years, he didn't go hungry. He didn't go thirsty. For 40 years, he had a bunch of... Do you realize Moses performed more funerals as a pastor than any other pastor in the world? I'm telling you, he had to bury people every day. There was a whole generation that had to die for their unbelief and for their rebellion. Moses performed more funerals than any other preacher that I know, and he still kept interceding, kept praying for the people. When they would criticize him, he would pray. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt and not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Whew. Oh yeah, he... And then go with me to Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm going to close. Hebrews chapter 3. Can you see some areas in Moses' life that he was faithful to God? He was faithful in all his house? How many want to be like Moses? I want to be like Moses as he was like the Lord. There's some things I don't want to be like Moses in, but there's other things I want to be like Moses in. Amen? Now, Hebrews chapter 3, and then I'm going to close. Verse 5. Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken of after. He lived his life as a testimony for us to show us how an ordinary person who missed being aborted was raised up in a palace, became a mighty leader to lead people out of bondage. Now look at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, hearing, doing, and keeping are the key elements to being faithful. You got to hear what God said, you got to do what he said, and you got to keep it until the end, no matter how hard it may be. So he's telling us in this context of being faithful, you got to hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation because they were not faithful. God, your unfaithfulness grieves God. It grieves him. It saddens him. People who are willing to quit when trouble comes their way. Believe me, I've had marvelous opportunities to quit that I've passed up. I refuse to quit. And believe me, we've had some harsh criticism. You mean people criticize you? Oh, you wouldn't believe. I could tell you some stories. Because we stand for what we stand for, we do what we do, and we're not going to quit. And the enemy will try to take you off. See, the enemy tries to bring division. He'll try to bring division between families, between spouses, between church members, churchgoers. You know, there's a difference between a churchgoer and a church member. Sometime I'll have to let you know that. He was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. Faithfulness is a heart issue. You're not going to be faithful until you get your heart right. People aren't going to be faithful in giving until they get their heart right. It's a heart issue. They have not known my ways. They didn't spend time with the Lord to find out his ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That sounds to me like it's a process. He's talking of the direct opposite of faithfulness. He's telling when people rebel, they're not being faithful. They've departed in their heart. And I'll tell you what, it brings the wrath of God. Do you think that God is pleased with unfaithfulness? No, he is not. So the call today is for you to be faithful, to listen to what God says. If you don't know what God says, look in the book. Pastor, give me a word from God. Here you go. I got a lot of them. Which one you want? I'm telling you, God will never violate this. You got to listen to what he says. You got to do what he says. And I guarantee you, when God asks you to do something, he'll not ask what you think about it or how you feel about it. Because what God says stands. There was a rich young ruler, came to Jesus. He said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Obey the commandments. Oh, yes, I've done that. Okay, let's get to the heart of the matter. Give away everything you have, give to the poor, and follow me. He heard it. He heard the command. He heard the opportunity. But you know what? He didn't do it. That rich young ruler walked away. And by not doing it, he didn't keep it. And therefore, Satan stole that seed that was about to be planted in his life. And I don't know how that rich young ruler ended up. I don't know. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity. When your pastor presents you with an opportunity to use your skills, talents, and abilities, say this, say, I will be faithful. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you are calling us to a deeper level of faithfulness as individuals and as a body to you. And so, Father, today we consecrate, dedicate, and commit ourselves to you to be faithful in the name of Jesus. And if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that you have never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that is the first step to being faithful, is to believe that he is God's Son, believe he died on the cross, believe he rose again, and to confess him as Lord and Savior. And if there's anybody here today and you need to be born again, you don't know if you would spend eternity in heaven, I want to give you that opportunity. Amen? Because we are soul winners here at VCF. We want to win souls. Amen? We want to pull them from the fire. And Maybe there's some areas of unfaithfulness in your life. And maybe the Lord's speaking to you. He's showing to you right now the areas that you need to improve in. You need to make an adjustment in your heart. There's no amount of prayer that can change that. You just got to make a decision in your heart that you're going to be faithful from this day forward. If you want a successful marriage, find out what the Bible says about marriage. If you want to be a successful business owner, find out what the Bible says about riches. If you want to be a faithful minister, find out what God said to ministers. If you want to find out what God's will is for your life, ask Him, talk with Him, listen and do and keep that which He said. You know, when God spoke to me, He told me to take a step and to go to a Bible school. And I had never been in that area of the country before. This was my first time leaving home. I went, I did, God did, and the rest is history. Amen? Now, I could have said no, but there are consequences for our actions. Blessing for when we follow God, punishment for when we don't. So, why don't you stand up with me? Say this, say, Father, I long to learn your will for my life. I will be faithful. I will keep that which you've given to me. I will do what you tell me to do. I will go where you tell me to go. I will be who you tell me to be. I am totally submitted and totally committed to pleasing you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.